Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of Heather's podcast. Today, I want to talk about weight. I spent a lot of the last, I think, the second season of my podcast talking about running, and the last couple of episodes have not been about running. They've been about sort of other things within the fitness industry. I think I mentioned in my last podcast that the reason for that is that I am largely still running, and I am still running pretty regularly, you know, like a few times a week, but I'm not sort of, I suppose, running for any particular purpose. I'm not running to train for a race. I'm not running for any specific goal. So running has just sort of become, since the half marathon that completed, part of what I'm kind of doing. I feel like I'm a little bit back into it. I still feel rubbish at it. I'm still slow, I'm still struggling with it, but it kind of feels like I'm less running to run, sort of running for a purpose, and more just running as part of my fitness. So as a result, I think my focus, and therefore what I'm thinking about when it comes in terms of talking about and writing about in terms of fitness, has probably shifted a little bit as well. So today I wanted to talk about something that kind of is on my mind in terms of fitness and the fitness industry. And so I suppose I've got a lot to say about it because I've been thinking about it. And I want to talk about weight, kind of my weight, but also just general, some thoughts about weight and fitness and diets and fitness in general. And kind of both how I feel about it in terms of me personally, but also how I feel about it in terms of clients and being a PT, being a group exercise instructor. So obviously I have conversations with people about their weight a lot, and generally, like, all of the discourse that you see within the fitness industry on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, within different PT groups, within different fitness groups, you know, you're thinking about the kind of, yeah, like, I'm a member of the Les Mills On Demand Facebook group, so weight comes up like frequently on there, and just the general, the kind of different thoughts that go back and forth with regards to weight and how weight should fit into fitness. So as ever, I am walking as I'm talking. I haven't scripted this. I don't really know where I'm going with it. And I will do it in one take, and I'm not going to edit it. So do apologise for any coughing fits, noisy cars, other such disturbances. And if I have the occasional brain fart. But here we go. So weight. I am coming up to 40. I'm 40 next month, mid-October. 15th, anyone wants to know? And I think that's the sort of time where you do start to reflect on things, like quite naturally. And I suppose for me, my 30s have been the healthiest decade of my life. You know, I have been probably in the best shape I've ever been in. I was definitely the fittest I've ever been in. I was the leanest I've ever been. I felt really good about myself for a good proportion of my 30s, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm never going to be like a size 8, realistically. But I was, you know, I was very lean at certain points. And even when I wasn't very lean, I was fit. I could run good distances. I did, you know, multiple half marathons, multiple 10Ks. I did a marathon. I taught a ridiculous number of group exercise classes. You know, I lifted some decent weights in the gym. And just in general, especially in terms of endurance, I've been pretty fit. And I think, you know, coming up to my 40s, what I've kind of realised is, rather than going into my 40s feeling like that still, I feel like I've lost it in the last couple of years. You know, variety of factors, but definitely since COVID and the whole lockdown thing, things have changed. I've put on weight. And it's not just that I've put on weight, but I'm also I'm not as active as I was. I'm still very active, and I'm still, like, to be completely honest, I'm still, when I say I'm not as active anymore, I am still more active than, like, probably like 80, 90% of the population. I'm still fit. I'm still healthy. I've put on weight. I'm not fat in any sense of the word. I'm just not where I was a couple of years ago. And obviously, I think as you come into a new decade, you do start to think about things, and like that kind of gets me down. And I think my weight in particular gets me down. And realistically, like logically, what should get me down more is that I'm not quite as fit. Because I've always said, and I think for the last few years, there's definitely been a shift in my thinking, that what matters more than appearance is how fit you are, how healthy you are. Because being able to do things is obviously dependent on your physical fitness. It doesn't really matter what you look like. As you get older, your ability to still be mobile, to still be able to move about, very much depends on not like what weight you are or what size you are. I mean, obviously that does play a part, but on how strong you are, how flexible you are, how fit you are. So what should bother me more is my fitness, and that I'm not as fit as I was. And it doesn't, it's my weight. That's what bothers me more. Now maybe I could say that's because I know that actually in reality I am still fit. So actually there isn't much to worry about there, because while I might not be as fit as I was, I'm not unfit. And so maybe like somewhere subconsciously that's why I'm less worried about that. And I'd like to say that, but I think in reality it's not. It's a confidence thing. It's how I feel in myself. It's how good I feel in myself. And I don't feel great, because when I look in the mirror, I see I've put weight on. And that doesn't make me feel good. And that does affect your confidence. And so I started thinking about, you know, weight. And there's been a lot of talk in the fitness industry recently about kind of sort of trying to shift away from being a diet industry, which I suppose justifiably you could say for a long time the fitness industry was a diet industry. It focused more on helping people lose weight than it did helping people get fit. And that's really good. It's a good shift. Because as I just said, although I do strongly believe that actually it's really important for us to work on our fitness, to sort of future-proof ourselves, as we get older, to still be able to look after ourselves, to still be able to move. I mean, that's incredibly important now when you think about society and the economy and employment. Retirement as it was 20, 30 years ago does not exist now. People are not going to be able to retire on full salary pensions and so on and so forth. And as such, actually being able to work and being able to move and being strong for longer and for more of your life isn't just going to improve the quality of your life in terms of like what you can go out and do and enjoy, but actually it could be, for many of us, very, very vital, like just in terms of being able to live. So it's good that there's been this sort of shift in the fitness industry away from being a diet industry into a fitness industry, but that doesn't detract from the fact that actually a lot of people do still want to get fit to lose weight. And even if you do want to be fit, even if you do want to be healthy, even if you do want to get strong, the fact of the matter is there's still a little niggling thing in the back of most people's mind when they're talking about this, that they will also lose weight. So, like, there's all them arguments about, you know, being thinner, being better, is a kind of social discourse that has been drummed into us by media, by advertising, by various points in society for years and years and years, and it's bad and it shouldn't be there and we should all ignore it and the fitness industry should ignore it. But the fact of the matter is that we have all grown up with that social discourse. You know, you can say it, like, it's bad, you can say it shouldn't be there, but it's that kind of just social conditioning that whether or not you think something is acceptable or okay, if it's been there in the background for the most of your life, it's actually really, really difficult to ignore it. You know, and I could say, I want to focus in the next few months, next couple of years on, you know, getting stronger on it and fitter on it and healthier. And absolutely I do, and I fully believe that. But I would really be lying if I didn't say that there was a part of me in there that thought, as I'm doing that, I should also be getting leaner and thinner, lose weight. And I think I have to acknowledge that the fact of the matter is that whether I think it's a good thing or a bad thing, or whether I think it's okay, or whether I think, oh, damn society for sort of brainwashing me or whatever, the fact of the matter is that those thoughts are in my head. And I'm not alone on that. I'm not even going to say I don't think I'm alone on that. I'm not alone on that. I think, being honest, 99% of people, no matter where they sit in the body positive movement or, you know, the anti-diet culture, would admit that realistically, even if they train to get fitter and stronger, there is a little part of them that when they see themselves also changing body shape and getting a little bit leaner, that helps them feel good. So I just think, like, we have to accept that kind of, as much as definitely there's been a shift away from weight loss being the kind of primary goal of everybody when they start a fitness journey, and a primary goal of PTs in the fitness industry, you know, there are now lots of PTs who will actively not advertise weight loss as a goal. And they advertise different things, you know, like confidence, strength, mindset shifts, all of those kind of things. And all of those kind of things I completely agree with. And I both try and train for them. And I definitely encourage clients to train for them over weight loss as well. I do think that we still have to acknowledge that the weight loss thing still exists, even for the people who have other goals, because you can have multiple reasons to train, and you can have main reasons and then sub reasons. And sometimes those sub reasons, they might not be your primary focus, but they are still like desirable and pleasing goals to reach. So, and I also think that the people who do want to lose weight and who like literally just want to lose weight for the sake of losing weight, and they really don't give a about, I'm going to swear there, probably not meant to swear in here, am I? They don't give a toss about, you know, getting stronger, getting fit, and they just want to lose weight. They just want to be a certain dress size or whatever. But you know what? Like, that's okay. And as much as we kind of say, you know, like, we have to kind of accept that there are people who want to train, not because how their body looks, but because they want to feel a certain way or, you know, be able to do a certain thing. Equally, if somebody wants to get fitter, start training, go to the gym purely with an aesthetic goal, that is also okay. It's got to be okay, because this kind of freedom, this positivity, this movement for not everybody to attain to one particular goal has to work both ways. And you should, if you want to, be allowed to attain to a certain goal. So I want to start off by kind of, I suppose, talking about how, as much as weight is now very much not the focus of the fitness industry, and there are many that argue that it shouldn't even be considered as part of people's fitness journeys, that that's all negative, and who argue that, you know, all of the kind of discourse that taught us that, you know, weight loss was the thing is awful. The fact of the matter is that all that discourse existed, it does have an effect on people's psyches, does have an effect on people's body image, how they see themselves. And the fact of the matter is that we don't all have years and years and years to unpack that. You know, we don't all have the availability of the necessary tools to unpack that. As a matter of fact, we don't all actually have the like inclination to unpack that. Like, I could spend years and years and years instead of thinking, you know what, actually, I want to get a bit stronger and fitter. And that while I'm doing that, a really good result, if I can pick up my fitness a bit, will be starting to see my body going back towards where it was, and I will feel better for that, and I will feel more confident about that. So I could, instead of saying that and kind of doing that, I could spend a lot of time working on my body image and, well, why do I really want to lose the weight? What does it matter? What will it do for me? Will it make me more happy? Will it make me more confident? Blah, 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 blah. Should I not be kind of like fighting against this way that people and their weight are portrayed and value that we put on weight? I could spend lots and lots of time unpacking that in my own head and probably improve my own body image and my own confidence via doing that instead of just, you know, like picking up my fitness a bit. I mean, do I have the motivation to do that? Do I really want to? I don't know. Do you know what? I kind of feel like right now, I know I'll feel a bit more confident if I am a bit happier with the way I look. And if I feel more confident, that's great. That's going to help me so much more. And why shouldn't I feel more confident? And if losing the weight is what is going to make me feel more confident, then actually, you know, is there anything to say that is wrong? And so therefore, I'm kind of, that's where I'm going to go down, and that's what I'm kind of aiming to do over the next few months, is kind of keep working on my fitness, and then hope that that starts to have an effect on my body, and that and then that's something that I will see positively. So I suppose that's where I wanted to start with that kind of, like, it's really, really complicated. Yeah, that's the right word. It's really, really complicated. The kind of interwoven thoughts we have about fitness, health, weight, society and judgment and all of that. And as much as I think if you listen to sort of like one side's argument and another side's argument on their own, they're quite compelling. Like, in reality, we don't live in sort of quiet rooms. We live in rooms where there are lots of different people shouting complex messages to us, and different messages that contradict each other. And therefore, actually, is there any wonder that even now, even if we think, yeah, fuck, I want to get strong as fuck, I want to be fit as fuck, like, there's definitely more motivation of people now to be not just posting on social media before and after pictures of themselves, but they want to be sort of saying, I did this, I did that, I did this, kind of proper physical achievements, things that require training and strength and commitment and endurance. So that's happening, and that's positive, but weight still, I think to the majority of us, the fact of the matter is weight and how we look and feel about ourselves still matters. So then I got thinking about me, and also, like I say, I suppose whenever I'm thinking about myself, I'm also always thinking about kind of what I teach people, what I say to clients, what I say to people in classes. And I think the two contradictions of the things, because it's so, so much easier, and not just within this sort of thing, but within everything, to give advice to someone else than take it yourself. And that's why a lot of PTs have PTs, because it's not that they're telling us something we don't know, it's just that sometimes you need somebody else to talk you through something and make you see it. Because it can be very difficult to convince yourself of something, even when that something is logic. So the fact of the matter is that in order to lose weight, you need to be eating fewer calories than you burn. Absolute simple science. And it's complete fact. Now, I wrote a blog about this the other day. That is the absolute simple fact. And people are always like, but what about my metabolism? What about this? But no, what about that? Now, I said in this blog, yeah, all of those things have an effect on how you lose or gain weight. Yes, what you eat, the makeup of the food you eat, will have an effect on your body and your body shape. Will have an effect on your energy. You know, when you eat and things like that can affect your energy and so on and so forth. But like, these effects are absolutely quite minuscule in comparison to your actual energy balance. So what PTs mean is that, like, if your diet is absolutely on point, do you know, like, if you've completely and utterly got the right number of calories going in compared to how much you are doing, so how much energy you have going out, and everything is like kind of spot on and it's really consistently spot on, and then you still want to make tweaks, now at that point then you start looking at small things, then you start looking at meal timings, then you start looking at like exactly what you are eating, because those small changes can have an effect. But if like you are consistently eating more than you burn, or if your body is a complete roller coaster and you can go from really, really massive deficits to really, really massive surpluses, like day in, day out, then actually the timings of meals, the type of things you're eating, are pretty insignificant. They're not going to make any kind of changes that are dramatic enough to actually affect your either weight gain or weight loss. I mean, realistically here, I'm talking about weight loss, but I mean, the same is said with weight gain, but obviously the opposite. So when PTs talk about calorie deficits and kind of poo-poo everything else, it's not that they're not aware or don't think that other things in your life have an effect on your weight. They completely do. It's just that they have an effect on your life either in such a minuscule way that at the moment they're not relevant. They could be relevant like in the future, or they do have an effect on your life and they need looking at, but they need looking at because they are contributing to the issue of the calorie deficit not being there, or if you are looking to put weight on, the calorie surplus not being there. And it does work both ways, because I remember having a conversation with somebody who is now a very, very good friend, who might listen to this, I don't know, who, you know, said about maybe talking to a dietitian because she wasn't sure she was eating the right things. She wanted to put weight on. She was eating and eating and eating and couldn't put weight on. And my first suggestion was, do a food diary. Use my food pound. Do a food diary for a couple of weeks and see how much you're actually eating in terms of calories. No, I eat loads. That's definitely not the problem. We'll just do it for a couple of weeks and see. Yeah. And when she did it. And actually it turned out she was not eating in terms of calories anything like what she thought she was. Very often when people are struggling to put weight on, it's very similar to when people are struggling to lose weight. Where people who try to lose weight often underestimate the number of calories they're eating. People who are trying and struggling to put weight on will very often overestimate the calories that they're eating. And so it kind of like honed in on that point that that calories are sort of the most important thing. But of course there are other things that you do need to look at. And so I've been kind of, because I'm very well aware that actually, like, realistically, my calorie deficit is a little bit hit and miss. I very much know that. I can have very good weeks, but I've not been overly consistent having the good weeks. And I am very prone to a binge. So I will have, like, a really good week and literally destroy it within a weekend kind of thing. So, obviously, like, I know that because I've kind of been looking at my own behaviour, looking at the things that are affecting me. So I was having to think about some of the things that do affect me, because as I said in that blog that you might have read, it was a much shorter sort of version of what I'm about to say, I guess, and not entirely the same topics because it was much more generalised, it wasn't about me. There are lots of nuances that can affect weight, and being aware of them is really, really good, as long as you have the knowledge to be aware of not just, right, this is happening and this is affecting my weight, but why is it affecting my weight? How is it going into that bigger picture of the fact that I'm eating more than I'm burning? And then once you kind of understand that and you link the two together, sorry, I always get a coughing fit, is then you can start to look at how you can rectify it. So the important thing here is that you don't sort of take the nuances, the things that are affecting you, and look at them in complete isolation to the fact of the calorie deficit, calorie surplus issue. And you have to try and merge the two together. So it's not enough to just sort of say, oh, I can't lose weight because I have a slow metabolism. Because if you only ever look at your sort of those problems, it definitely can. So if you have, say, thyroid issues or something like that, that's definitely going to affect your weight. There's no fitness professional out there that's going to tell you that that isn't the case. Or even it could mean that you're losing too much weight, but depending on what thyroid issue you have. But the thing is kind of looking at that problem, looking at how it feeds into the actual calorie issue, which is the issue with your weight, and then seeing if there's anything you can do about that. Now, I'm going to caveat here that there are going to be some medical conditions where actually a PT is not going to be able to help you here, but you need to speak to a doctor. There are going to be some things, medication-wise, that will affect your weight, and there possibly will not be very much you can do about them. At which point, then, that is a conversation with a doctor. It's not a conversation with a PT, and it's not something you can try and fix yourself. For the majority of us, actually, these things are kind of like more situation-based, and they're things that we can kind of look at. And we can try and do something about ourselves. So I've been looking at kind of my own situation, the things that I think that have changed in the last couple of years that have affected my weight. So I think my biggest one was COVID-19. And I've not had COVID. As far as I'm aware, I've not had COVID. So it's not COVID itself. It was the lockdowns, more specifically. Now, like everybody, the lockdowns literally changed all of our lives sort of overnight, pretty much, didn't they? Or like probably like 90% of us. I went from teaching 14 classes roughly a week, sometimes more, training, running, and working 5 days a week, working full time. I was incredibly active. I don't drive, so I walk everywhere. So I was walking between gyms and work. I was on my feet like for large parts of the day. I easily hit sort of like 20 to 30,000 steps a day without thinking. I was constantly moving. They were all quite high impact classes. They were largely classes where you do the class with the class. So I was physically on the go a lot. I didn't think massively about what I ate. I did think about it, but realistically, I burnt enough calories to be pretty free with the amount of food I ate, and it didn't have a huge impact on my body. And actually, realistically, if I wanted to get very, very lean, I could do it in 2 or 3 weeks by cutting things out and just eating kind of like 3 or 4 healthy meals a day, because I was like naturally quite lean. Like the bit of fluff that I thought at the time was fluff, that realistically wasn't very much at all, was just, you know, the cake and the chocolate that I ate without thinking too much, just because I moved a lot. So like overnight, I went from that to sitting at my desk for 8, 9, 10 hours a day, just working. So I wasn't sort of commuting, so I wasn't walking to and from work. I wasn't teaching. I was trying to do some exercise every day, but in reality, going from sort of doing, say, 2 or 3 hours of exercise a day, plus the commute, plus being up and down from your desk at work, to literally going from my desk to the kitchen, desk to the kitchen, and then sort of doing one thing a day, massively, massively different. But equally, did my eating habits change? I tried to reduce the number of calories. to sort of like make up for that. But in reality, that was really hard because I think we were all like bored, stressed, lonely, worried, anxious. So it was really, really tough to not, you know, like to not overeat. So actually in reality, a lot of the weight that I put on was originally because of that. I was just, my circumstances had changed. I was not doing the same amount of exercise, but in reality I was probably eating not much less food. So obviously just my calorie deficit changed. Now mentally, the nuance was the lockdown. That was something that impacted me. Scientifically, it was the calorie deficit, realistically. What's been difficult since then is going back, because like, I think it's really hard with COVID and the lockdown because we obviously have a much different view to COVID now. And it very much seems like a bit of an overreaction. Some people would disagree with me there, but I think largely we're a bit like, wow, okay. So some of that shit was a little bit crazy. But because of that, I think the actual impact of lockdown on people has been forgotten a little bit. And obviously so much has happened in the world since then as well. And a lot of people just want to move on, and that's obviously understandable. But like, I think it's been really difficult to get back from lockdown because mentally my mindset shifted. My motivation changed. When I went back, like when the gyms reopened, first of all, one of the gyms I worked at removed Les Mills classes. So they offered me the class space, but it would be to teach something different. And to be honest with you, there was kind of a little bit of, like, I used to teach like three classes on a Saturday, sometimes five. And it was going to go from teaching classes that I like really enjoy teaching. And it was kind of my motivation for getting up on a Saturday was I had these classes going in. So teaching sort of the same class three to five times on like on a loop almost, or like doing like still having this sort of like same amount of exercise time, like class time, but it wouldn't be teaching the same things. It would be a lot more repetitive. And I thought about it and I thought, you know what, I think my attitude towards all of this has changed over lockdown. And I'm not sure I want to get up on a Saturday after working all week to go in and teach things that I don't really, really want to teach that day. So I sort of declined those classes. And then over time, since lockdown, just with gym changes and that, I've lost another class. So I've gone from like 14 classes pre-lockdown minimum to five to now four. That's a massive change. So although I have now gone back to teaching, I'm still not teaching anywhere near as much. So again, that's still something that I'm kind of grappling with, that getting my eating to the same level as the actual amount of exercise I'm doing, but still eating enough to have the energy to teach. So that's another thing, I suppose another circumstance thing that I've got to take into account, because whilst obviously I want to drop my calories enough to lose weight, I also still need to make sure I do have the energy to teach those classes I'm teaching. Because teaching classes is hard work. It does require energy, it does require concentration. And especially when you're doing it around work, because it makes your days really long. So like, you know, Monday to Wednesday, I leave the house at like 5-6 o'clock in the morning. And on a Monday, I don't get home until 10 p.m. And I don't get home on Tuesday and Wednesday until 7:30 p.m. So like, realistically, I need to be making sure I'm eating enough to have the energy to do that, focus at work. But then obviously I'm also trying to reduce my calories at the same time to lose some weight. And that's a really hard balance. So changing circumstances is definitely something that's affected me. Like, it's that nuance. Equally, I went back on to antidepressants sort of during lockdown, during the COVID period. I was just really anxious. I think a lot of people were, but I think for me, because I've been on antidepressants before, I've, you know, been treated for anxiety and depression before, I kind of got to that. I can feel certain, almost certain triggers, certain things kind of affecting me. And I decided to speak to the doctor and say, can I go back on something? Because I just thought, do you know what, like, do it now, and almost kind of try and nip things in the bud rather than them kind of get worse. So I went back on sort of medications, but the medications that I knew from previous experience did affect my weight. Now, antidepressants affecting your weight, I don't know how much of it is hormonal, because obviously a change in hormones can have an effect on your weight, but equally it's a lot to do with how it affects your brain, your mood, and your desire to eat. So there are studies that show that certain, obviously it's really dependent on people, but certain people can find that they do put weight on with certain antidepressants. Like I say, some of it might be hormonal changes in hormonal balances, but a lot of it is also to do with how much it makes you want to eat. Some of it they suggest is because as your mood improves, you get that enjoyment back, so you enjoy food more, so you want to eat it. But I think there's definitely things in terms of hunger and cravings that come from certain antidepressants that just mean that you end up eating more. And I think if you add that to any hormonal changes, losing the weight or keeping your weight the same can be quite tricky for some people. And I definitely think that I am one of those people. Because I knew I'd put weight on previously with these antidepressants, I actually really tried to watch what I was eating when I first went back on them, but I still found myself putting on weight quite quickly. So I ended up, I think, from sort of like the start of lockdown until the end of the year, so around about, let's say from March 2020 until sort of like January, February 2022, I'd put on easily about 10 kilograms, 10, 15 kilograms. So that was like obviously for a mix of things that didn't help how much I was eating compared to how much I was moving. But yeah, that's where I was at. I also tried, I can't remember what the actual drug's called, but effectively it was a beta blocker. So it helps with anxiety symptoms, but I think the way, very unscientifically, it does that is it helps slow the heart rate. It's also used with some, I think, blood pressure conditions. So that, obviously, taking them doesn't help in terms of your metabolism, how much you're burning. So the medication that I was taking that I've come off of, and I've lost a little bit of weight since then, but it's much easier to put weight on than it is lose it, let's face it. Equally, other things that have affected me are various injuries. I've been a little bit injury prone. I think partly, I was never particularly injury prone, and then recently I've been much more injury prone, and I've been much more sicker more often, if that makes sense. And I think part of that is probably having that like 6-9 months where I wasn't moving as much, and the body getting a bit stiffer, and then you come back in and you try and go back full pelt again, and like it's much easier to get injuries. And then I think the same with feeling ill. We all had this period for like a year or so where we just didn't interact, so you lose that kind of immunity that you build up from general social interaction, you know, like everything being so obsessively clean, and this constant hand washing, like over hand washing, I think kind of lowers your immune system a bit. And also just because we weren't getting bugs. But you think about it, that time when you got COVID, unless you got COVID, did you get anything? Like realistically, you didn't. And so since then, when I have got a cold, oh my God, I've got a cold. Like it's been horrendous. So that's kind of affected my fitness as well, because it kind of means I feel like I'm constantly stopping and starting. Like as soon as I feel like I'm getting back into some kind of swing, something happens, I get an injury, I'm out for a short period of time or a long period of time, I had a period, I think I've mentioned it in these before, where I had an allergic reaction to some after sun. It burnt, like it literally burnt my skin off. I had no skin on my legs for a few weeks. It grows quite quickly, skin. Had little burns unit. I couldn't walk for a fair few days. I definitely couldn't exercise for a couple of months. Things like that obviously make you less active, you're burning less calories, and so therefore definitely affect the sort of that energy balance. I mean, other things I'm probably over talking now, but a general change in mindset. My dad passed away, a couple of people passed away. I think my mindset on, you know, what's important in life and what's less so has developed. And so, you know, you kind of get to that point where actually things fitness wise, or eating wise would have been really important to me before seem less vital or important. And I'm a lot more likely to be like, oh, fuck it. Let's sod that and let's go and do this, because life is short. So there's obviously been some kind of mindset changes, and that makes it harder to stick to things, because I think if you can get yourself into a mindset, or when you get yourself into a mindset that actually the goal, you know, the physical goal of getting to a certain weight is the most important thing, you can sort of like, you can resist certain things. When you kind of look at life in a slightly different way and you look at life, not just that goal, that makes it much harder to stick to that goal. But is it necessarily a bad thing? No, I don't think so. But obviously it is relevant here. Getting older in itself is not going to help. As you get older, it definitely becomes harder physically to maintain, you know, your muscle mass and so on and so forth. It does become harder to lose weight. Physiologically, you do start to change. Where you store fat, you know, starts to become a different thing. Storing fat around your middle, things like that. So obviously that's not helping me in itself. It means that I'm going to have to work that little bit harder if I want to get back to sort of where I've got in my head. And then I think finally, and I think it's a really relevant one, I don't want to go into it massively because I'm aware I've not got much time, but other people's comments. So I think by and large, you know, my friends are all really supportive and everything, but there's definitely been a couple of people who have made and do make comments about weight and make me feel, but I would imagine this is something that other people feel as well, bad about my weight. And so I think that has an effect as well on how you deal with things. One, because when you feel bad, or I know when I feel bad, I do have a tendency to overeat. So it's almost like a cycle. Because I feel negative about my weight, I'm much more likely to overeat to make myself feel better. It's that comfort food thing. That's then obviously then have an effect on the calorie balance, which is then not going to help with the weight thing. And I think it also just affects confidence in the gym, confidence to try things, confidence to give new things a go and be okay about failing. Because when you feel good about yourself, and again, it comes back to a cycle, when you feel good about yourself, when you feel good in your body, you're much more likely to go, oh, I'm going to give that a go. Oh, I'm going to give that a try. And if you fail, you can probably laugh it off. When you do not feel confident, it's much harder to do that, and you much more fear the potential failure, and therefore you find yourself maybe avoiding doing things. But then that means that you're maybe avoiding sort of doing the more active things, pushing yourself harder, you know, staying within a comfort zone, because what if you fail? And that's going to mean that actually you're reducing the amount of energy you release, that you use, while simultaneously, because of the same confidence issue, potentially increasing the amount you eat. So that's not going to help with that energy balance equation and sort of getting the weight down. So again, it becomes a kind of cycle. You see it in classes a lot, quite frequently. People are new, they're like confidence, they want to stay with the weight. Say for example, in a weight-based class, they want to stay with the weight, that they think they're going to be able to do, that they think they'll be able to maintain. And even if you see someone and you're kind of like, I think he could lift more, they'd be reluctant because even if they want to, even if they want to try, there's that fear that what if they try and they don't manage to do it? Now, the shift in people's mindset isn't very, is sometimes actually this starting to feel easy. I think I could lift more. But actually what it more often is they get comfortable, they get more confident, they feel better in the movements, they feel better in the environment, they feel safe, they feel like they belong. And it becomes a case of, actually, I'm willing to try, not necessarily just because I think I'm going to be able to do it, but also because if I can't do it and I have to go back down a weight, I know it's going to be okay. So confidence in other people's opinions and how other people make you feel definitely, definitely have an effect, I think, for me, and I think for other people, on sort of that struggle with losing weight. So essentially there, I was trying to give you an idea, like using me as an example, of why, yes, the calorie balance is the thing. It's not the calorie balance, the energy equation, you get what I mean, is the thing. It's the thing that is impacting you gaining or losing weight. But there are lots and lots of things around it that obviously do have an effect. And the key here is getting both of them together and trying to work out a plan that kind of overcomes those obstacles to get you into a calorie deficit. And it's being aware of them, but it's equally knowing that they on their own are not the issue. They tie back into the issue, and the issue is actually the amount of energy you are consuming in comparison to using. So this is the dilemma of a PT. We really want to teach people the facts. We really want to teach people, and like you see it more and more and more on social media, people giving out free content, that the fact of the matter is that what matters if you're trying to lose weight is that you need to be eating less than you are using. That is how you will lose weight. But in order to teach people that and get people to understand that, is sometimes you end up oversimplifying it, because of course there are other things that come into play. And a lot of them, really, they're mindset based. You know, it's like so many things. There's the absolute simple fact. So the energy equation, calories, they are the absolute simple fact. But they don't live in a vacuum. It's like I said before about this idea about weight and body image. Calories don't live in a vacuum. It's a really, really simple mathematical equation, but it doesn't exist completely and utterly on its own. So you need to be aware of all the things that kind of feed into it. And a PT's job, when you work one-on-one with clients or in a group basis with clients, is not just teaching people those absolute facts, but it's looking at the wider picture. And it's being able to look at all of those factors that affect that fact and working out a plan that works for that person to override those facts. And that's why, to be fair, working one-on-one with people tends to give the best results. As much as people think, oh, well, you know, why would I need a PT? I know this, I know this, I know this. Knowing lots of facts is one thing. It's the experience and being able to put the facts into a real-life setting and deal with the actual real-life problems that come up. The real-life problems are the things that cause stumbling blocks for people. Knowing the facts is fine. Knowing the facts doesn't help you overcome the stumbling blocks in themselves. And what a PT does is they give you the experience, they give you their experience to help you to both identify those stumbling blocks and then sort of work over them, work around them, help you overcome them. So I think to go back to the beginning, we kind of need to be a little bit less black and white about weight and diets and weight loss. We were very black and white back in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. We were very black and white. Most of the fitness industry, undeniably, was about diets. It was about weight loss. And that is negative. That is a little bit toxic. I am not denying that. To expect everybody to switch off a part of their brain and suddenly just focus on physical goals, on, you know, strength, on fitness, on health, and not think about their own bodies is unrealistic. None of us are going to be able to switch off years and years and years of social discourse. None of us. I think even the most body positive, confident people will still have something in the back of their head that says, actually, do you know what? I still want to look a certain way. I still feel better when I look a certain way. And I think the key is that rather than getting angry with ourselves or with other people for that, or for acknowledging that, is that we actually just have to accept it. Because it's a bit like so many other aspects of our life. Things are never going to be totally perfect. And the key is kind of acknowledging where those mental conflicts arise and coming to terms with them in a way that helps you the most and helps you feel comfortable in yourself. So for me, I do wholeheartedly want to be fit, healthy and strong, not just going into my 40s, but when, say I'm doing this podcast in 10 years time and I'm going into my 50s, or, you know, going into my 60s or 70s, I want to be fit, healthy and strong. I want to be able to do things for myself. I still want to be able to exercise. I still want to be able to move. I still want to be independent. And so fitness is important to me in that way. I've got lots of goals this year coming up, you know, for my 40th year, well, my 41st year, isn't it? But you know what I mean. For the next year, that are physical. The physical challenges that are going to be really, really tough. And I'm not sure I can do, but if I can get myself to be able to do them, then it's going to be really, really positive. And it's going to be really, really positive for no other reason than I have worked on my own fitness and I've got stronger and my endurance has got better and my speed has got better and my strength has got better. And that's a really, really positive thing. But equally, I do hope that I also have lost a little bit of weight, because I know I will feel better then. I know I will feel lighter, a bit happier. It will also help me with my physical goals, because, you know, like, the absolute fact is that for some of my goals are running based, and to be really, really honest, carrying a bit of extra weight makes running so much harder. It slows you down so much more. It puts so much more pressure on my joints. It feels so much tougher. Have you ever tried running in a weighted vest? So if you've ever tried running in a weighted vest, like, if you just think, if you've been used to running and then you've put 10 kilograms on, that's essentially what it feels like. So I'm kind of looking at myself in, I'll feel really good if I meet those physical goals, but I'll also feel really good and more confident if I can meet that aesthetic goal and lose a bit of weight. And I think the thing here about feeling good is that I need to be able to say that openly in order to be able to meet the goals, because if I try and do it on the quiet, then I'm probably not going to be able to stick to it, because it's much, much easier to kind of hit a goal if you are open about it and you tell people about it. When you tell people you're going to do something and then you don't do it, it's a bit embarrassing. So that's why it's a good idea to tell people about your goals, because it kind of gives you that social obligation to try and see them through. So I don't want to sort of like be trying to lose a bit of weight, but doing it on the quiet and like pretending that I'm not doing it, and then pretending, oh no, it's just an after effect of all of these other goals, and oh, you know, like, I'd rather it wouldn't have happened, because that's disingenuous and it's probably not going to help me. But equally, because as part of this feeling good about yourself and feeling confident about yourself, kind of wanting to feel good and comfortable in your own skin, which is what the body and positivity movement and what all the anti-diet movements kind of push. Well, part of that is being able to be you genuinely and be open and be able to tell people what your hopes and your goals and your aims are without fear of judgment. And it feels a little bit wrong if we're saying that that should be the goal, but as long as your aim isn't to lose weight, because that's a bad aim, because that's just that's just doing the same sort of thing as the diet industry and dictating how people should act, feel, want to be. And surely the idea is that you can have whatever fucking goals you want and you just do them. And as long as they're your goals and they're not hurting anybody else, then actually it's no one else's business. So that's where I feel, I think, about weight. Weight myself, weight in the industry, or diets myself, diets in the industry, however you want to perceive weight. I'm kind of talking about weight as if I'm talking about diets, I've kind of realised. As in losing weight. So yeah, if you're in the position where actually you kind of do want to lose weight for whatever reason, and you feel a little bit bad about it, I guess my message is don't feel bad about it, because you're perfectly allowed to. What I haven't kind of mentioned here, and I'm probably getting a little bit too late into the podcast to bring it up, is that I will say that in general, losing weight on its own is often not enough powerful enough motivator. Like people often find, say, losing weight for a wedding, that's a powerful motivator. But it's not just because you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to lose weight for that specific thing, i.e. your actual motivator is you want to feel good in your wedding dress. This is often why people, and it's a really good tool that PTs use, often why people find that they do lose weight when they say they try and run a marathon, say, and you lose the weight as part of the marathon training. So having a goal that you really, really care about is a really good way of losing weight, because it takes the focus just purely off of the rather mind-numbing and can be a little bit obsessive calorie counting and exercising to increase energy output, and puts it onto something that's a little bit more inspiring, a little bit more motivating, and it kind of gives you a little bit more of a motivating goal. But the fact of the matter is that the key to succeeding is you really need to want the goal. So it might be that actually losing weight to be able to run around with your kids, that's your goal. You want to lose weight, but it's to run around with the kids. It's the why that is the thing that really, really matters. And it might be, like I said, realistically, I know that if I can lose a little bit of weight, I'm going to feel more confident. I know that. What I want isn't to lose the weight. What I want is to feel better in myself and more confident. And that's okay. So I might do another podcast, actually, on whys as a motivation, because I think that ties in quite well to here. And I don't have enough time now to sort of carry on into that. But my message here, I guess, is that whatever your goal, and if your goal is weight loss, that's okay. It doesn't really matter what all of the kind of like trendy stuff in the fitness industry is saying right now. Everybody should be allowed to have whatever goal they want. And in the reality, it's probably going to tie into some other goals anyway. It's probably going to tie into some fitness and some strength and some health related goals. So it isn't likely to be just purely weight loss anyway. And even if it is, you'll probably see those benefits anyway. And then you might find actually you get new goals. So it's all okay. But if you do want to explore those goals, I can really suggest talking to a PT and looking to spend some sessions with a PT. Because understanding the nuances around weight and your weight beyond just the calorie deficit is really important in actually being successful about that. So anyway, I'm going to tie this up now before I get to the hour mark. But if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. I intend to do a few more about my own journey over the next few months on trying to lose weight, but also introduce some of the other goals that I have at the point where I'm ready to share them. At the moment, they're still forming in my head. And I think my next podcast will very much be on the why, and why when your goal setting. Because I think that would be really useful. But anyway, in the meantime, thank you very much for listening. And if you have any comments, feel free to drop them into the comments in the podcast or all the normal channels. Have a look at my blog, Cake, Gym, Sleep, Repeat. I can never remember my own blog names. Too much of a tongue twister. And like I say, you can leave a comment there. And there's blogs on lots of different topics. But in the meantime, thank you very much. Thank you for listening and have a great day.